For 14 years, Ingham County residents have known Eric Schertzing as the county treasurer and more recently director of the Ingham County Land Bank. Last year, they assessed him in a different light, as a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress. The issues and the stakes expanded as the 52-year-old Stockbridge native pursued the soon-to-be-vacant seat in Congress, held since 2001 by Republican Mike Rogers. Schertzing lost to his Republican opponent, Mike Bishop. But we've been wondering what the transition from county treasurer to congressional candidate was like, not just for the candidate, but for his family as well. Eric and his wife Nancy have twin East Lansing High School students at home. What considerations went into Eric Schertzing's run for Congress, and what were those busy 7 months like between declaring his candidacy and election night? Last Friday, Eric and Nancy Schertzing sat down with me here at WKAR, and we talked. I first asked Nancy Schertzing about the family discussion over whether her husband should run.
This was not a decision that Eric made the first time that he heard that Mike Rogers was not going to run. I mean, this is something that had been percolating, I think, in our minds for many years. I mean, we've both been involved in politics, and Eric worked for Bob Carr on the Hill and here in the district. And so the idea of running for Congress wasn't one that was just like out of the blue, oh gosh, should we try this? This is something that he had thought about for a long time. So it was probably, I don't know, a year or so ago that we actually had the conversation of, okay, the kids are old enough now. And
this was before Mike Rogers announced he was going to retire.
Remember, in 2013, Mike Rogers was on the list of candidates to run for U.S. Senate, potentially in a Republican primary.
Correct.
So there were conversations then also.
Right. But only between our family and some very close friends. Because before that, I've been focused all throughout Eric's career on our family. And the kids were too little, or the kids were we weren't ready for something like that. But when it became clear that Mike Rogers was not going to run, the first person who encouraged Eric to run was our son Charlie, who was 16 years old. I think he texted you. Is that right? And so we knew that. Finally, I was on board to do it. And
when you heard that Charlie texted Eric about running, how did you feel about that?
Well, I felt like, okay, it's, you know, this is the time. It was one of those feelings that, you know, it was something that I knew Eric had always wanted to do. It was an opportunity that when it came along, it would be very hard to turn it down, but also it would be very scary and very hard to accept it. And so having the family on board was, that was huge. It was a non-starter.
But once the time finally rolled around, were there fewer factors to consider here when it came? I mean, it had been theoretical up until that point. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it was a real possibility. But did you anticipate this enough that the process of deciding was really shortened?
Well, yeah. I mean, having an open seat was really a critical component, because you run because you want to win, and it's a tough district. But with an open seat, the opportunity that we had talked about a little bit really all came together and gelled.
What were your plans as to where everybody would live if you were successful?
That's really funny, because after Charlie texted Eric, Charlie and Catherine are twins, and they're both juniors at East Lansing High School. And Catherine was also on board, but then she said, wait a minute, do we have to move? And the plan was that no, absolutely not. I would stay here and Eric would commute, you know, like I think most members of Congress do. They spend time in Washington during the week.
Was the four of you living in Washington ever seriously considered then, or they're too much a part of Lansing High?
East Lansing is their home.
Did anything really make you hesitate about running when the time finally came to seriously consider this?
Everything, I think. It would change everything for our family. And so I think you don't take it lightly, mm-hmm. not at that level.
Did you hesitate much at all about anything in particular, Eric?
Well, you know, it was really just the amount of money that you'd need to raise to run a full-fledged congressional campaign. That's all the other pieces, you know, I think we were used to in ways, but how do you raise that much money? We were talking about $1.5 million, hopefully.
We're talking with Eric and Nancy Schertzing about Eric's recent run for U.S. Congress and all the decisions and conversations that went into that, as well as the campaign. Eric, how did you feel about the primary campaign, that first phase, and getting your thoughts and ideas out there with three other Democrats competing?
I think the primary was a good process. There were four of us. So, I mean, just from a political context, there was one female candidate and three male candidates. And that is a tough political environment for a Democratic primary. We figured that my base in Ingham County would be what would be very helpful, but all four candidates were from Ingham County, but none of them had held elective office. So it was a good chance to, you know, kind of get practice in debating the issues, get to know the congressional process, but it was, you know, different, and it might have been easier to amass more dollars for the general election if you didn't have to go through and spend money in the primary.
What do you remember about that primary phase,
Nancy? I remember how extraordinary the people were. Every single one of the people who ran in that primary was just outstanding. We all came together. Every single one of them, I think, contributed to Eric's campaign. They were very gracious. They were very supportive. And I can't say enough about how much I admire all of them.
What was it like meeting supporters for the first time? People you didn't even know, but who had committed to supporting you. That sounds like a pretty gratifying experience.
Well, you know, again, I've been around politics for a long time. This is over a 30-year, you know, trial phase to get ready for a congressional race. But it is very powerful to have friends and family, and then even people that you don't know previously come forward to help and, you know, give money. I mean, you've got people writing $50 to $500 checks, and that's very profound because these people are having faith and confidence in you to take forward a message that your values and the things that you're about are worthy of their time, of their contribution of time and money. That's powerful.
What about you, Nancy? What was it like meeting people supporting Eric's candidacy for the first? I imagine there were more of them for you than maybe there were for Eric.
You know what? It's so exciting, and it's so it is gratifying. As Eric says, it's gratifying, and I don't know. Now, Eric assured me that I could say anything, but I have to tell you honestly that there were many times when we would get a letter or a note or someone that he had known previously would come forward and say they're supporting him, and he would get tears in his eyes. Mm. I mean, I think we both consider public service such a high honor, and to know that people put their trust and their belief in you is something that you can't underestimate. To say it's powerful is not a strong enough statement. Mm-hmm. It touches the very core of who you are when you have that kind of affirmation.
Did you reconnect with supporters you hadn't heard from in a long time, or people you hadn't heard from in a long time?
Absolutely. I mean, Nancy had worked for Governor Blanchard early in our marriage. I worked for Congressman Carr for a number of years. And so many of those folks that we had, you know, kept in some touch with or indirectly, you know, were called upon because we needed resources, or they came forward of themselves. That's why it's a 30-year-plus process of building up friends and relationships that made it possible for me to consider, for us to consider, a congressional race.
Hmm. What was it like meeting detractors? What was it like meeting Mike Bishop supporters?
You know, when Eric ran for state representative almost 30 years ago, oh my gosh, it's been that long, I went door to door, and this was at a time when issue of choice was very much was a huge issue in state
government. As it is today.
Yeah, but it was a little bit more more strong at that time. And I knocked on doors, and that was the first question that people would ask many times is he pro-choice or is he pro-life? Mm. And I would say he was pro-choice and had many, many times doors slammed in my face or, you know, people wanting to argue it. And so I think I became accustomed to it in a way. What happens is that you respect people's right to have an opinion, and they do, and they feel it with their very hearts, and that's right. There's nothing wrong with people having an opinion and expressing it. I think you just have to, as a candidate spouse, you know who your partner is, and you know that he's a good man, and regardless of whether people are supporting him or not, that doesn't take anything away from that.
What was it like meeting detractors from your perspective, Eric?
Well, you know, I'm used to that, so it wasn't, it was different issues because, you know, a federal race is a lot different than the state and local things that I've been able to, you know, wrap my arms around and really know. Foreign policy, you know, debates and questions were, you know, that's just a whole new world. So it was, you know, it was more challenging on the issues. But there's people that like you and don't like you and everything you do in life. That's not unique to electoral runs.
You certainly had the highest profile, public profile, among the four primary candidates and a long record of public service, as you pointed out. How big an advantage was that?
Oh, I think it was huge. I would come home or I would say to other folks, you know, for all the struggles and the difficulties that we're going through trying to run a congressional race in the primary, I can't imagine what my opponents are going through that have never been involved in this mm-hmm. business. You know, I worked on congressional campaigns for Bob Carr and helped raise money and really have done a lot of the legwork for what a congressional race would be. And my opponents had the guts to just step up to it and make a run without all of those years of preparation. My hat's off to all of them.
Did you ever think that any of them might drop out before the primary election and narrow the field?
You know, it was really pretty clear that was unlikely to happen, so we just adjusted ourselves to the reality of four good Democrats running.
I'm thinking one of the frustrating aspects of running for office would be encountering voters, or members of the media for that matter, who fundamentally misunderstand something you said or a position you've taken or an issue. Did that ever happen?
Well, you know, it certainly did. But I had a wonderful campaign manager, Abby Clark, who, you know, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee helped me find. And we really prepared for that process. So, you know, as a congressional candidate, I had to up my game and be somebody, you know, different than I had been and be more careful about how you answer questions. You want to have energy when you're answering questions. You want to be truthful, but the content of answers for a congressional candidate, I found, were not quite as deep as what, you know, you and I often get into when we're talking about local issues that I know intimately.
And Eric would want to give a long and kind of wonky explanation and answers, and that was not kosher, I guess.
That sounds disconcerting. If you want to get into details about important issues, mm-hmm. but people only want to hear so much, they only want to go so deep.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason I'm thrilled to be here is, you know, I want folks in the general public to understand what this process is. I mean, we have the democracy that we create for ourselves, and you know, this isn't Mr. Smith Goes to Washington anymore. And there is so much, you know, control over the process. And fundraising, for example, as we've touched on, is such a big part of the process. You know, the candidates that you get, or the more successful candidates, are the candidates that can raise more money. Raising more money is not about some policy issue, necessarily. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily a deep thinker. It means they're good at raising money. And so we should have in our democracy some concerns about how important money has become in campaigns.
Eric and Nancy Schertzing of East Lansing talking there about their experiences and considerations last year during Eric's run for Congress in the 8th District. Part 2 of our conversation focuses on the campaign for the general election and what it was like to lose the contest. Part 2 coming up this Thursday on WKAR's Current State.